Now, I wanted to just give you a brief description of what demons are as I understand it. My understanding is limited, but I'll give you the best I have. I think the best thing to say is that they are persons without bodies. Demons have real personality. They have distinctive personalities. One demon is not exactly like another. I remember something so vivid. I was dealing with a man. His wife had come to me and said, "Brother Prince, my husband needs deliverance. And I made a mistake. I prayed for him on the basis of what his wife asked." You see? I never have done that again. If he needs deliverance, let him tell me he needs deliverance. Well, I started to pray for the man and he started to get violent. And his wife drew me aside and said, "Brother Prince, at home he throws chairs at me." So I said, "Well, why didn't you tell me that before we started?" Anyhow, the demons were speaking out of the man, and one of them said, "I'm unclean." And I thought, now, I don't want to embarrass the man in front of his wife. I could think of all sorts of unclean things that might be the problem. But I said, you spirit of unclean thoughts, come out of the man. He said, "That's not my name." I said, "Come out anyhow." He said, "That's not my name." I mean, you can't easily understand how much of an individual a demon is. It wanted to be recognized by the right name. Well, eventually it came out, but the last thing it said before it came out was, "That's not my name." I'm trying to impress upon you the fact we're dealing with real persons with characteristic attributes. I've already pointed out, but I'll say again, two things. First of all, the word is not devil. The word devil comes from the Greek word diabolos, which means a slanderer, and is a title of Satan himself. The things we are dealing with are daimonions, demons, and they are not devils. They are another kind of being. Where do they come from? Well, I don't believe anybody has an absolutely authoritative answer. In my thinking, the most probable explanation is they are disembodied spirits of a pre-Adamic race that perished under the judgment of God between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. I'm glad to discover that our pastor more or less thinks the same. Am I right? Good, thank you. That's encouraging. I mean, we may be wrong, but that's the best that I can come up with. But the most distinctive fact about demons is they desperately crave to occupy a body. They are not satisfied until they get inside a body. Preferably, they would occupy the body of a man or a woman. But rather than be disembodied, they would rather go into the body of pigs. Because you remember the man of Gadara, the demons said, "Send us into the pigs. We don't want to be disembodied." What they didn't realize was that going into the pigs would cause the death of the pigs, and they were left after that with the same problem again. But what I'm trying to deal with is you're dealing with a person who hasn't got a body and desperately craves to be in a body because, as I believe, only through a body can they exercise their ungodly lusts. If it's a demon of alcohol, it has to have a human throat through which to consume. If it's a demon of sexual immorality, it has to have sexual organs through which it can operate. If it's a demon of hatred, it has to have emotions that it can play upon to work through. In other words, we are surrounded by an invisible host of persons without bodies, desperately craving to occupy bodies and desperately struggling not to be out of bodies. Now, I think I need to say a little bit briefly how I became involved. I did not volunteer for this ministry. I was conscripted. First of all, when I became a pastor of a very small Pentecostal congregation in West London, in the early 1950s, I had a serious ongoing problem with depression. I know none of you have ever struggled with depression, but be patient with me, I did. And it threatened to destroy my ministry because I had this continual sense, I'm a failure, I won't succeed, I can't do it. And I struggled and struggled. I did not know the answer, but I was directed to a passage in Isaiah, chapter 61. What I thank God for is I always had the Bible, and I always turned to the Bible, and I always accepted the Bible as authoritative and final. That has protected me and preserved me through many different problems and situations. But it's this famous passage which Jesus quoted in the synagogue in Nazareth, Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And as I was reading that passage, God showed me, that's your problem. It's a spirit of heaviness, a spirit of grief, an unhappy spirit. And let me tell you, the protection is a garment of praise. When you wear a garment of praise, that spirit cannot have access to you. But I had grown up, I can't go into all my background, but I had exposed myself in many ways to demons. And there was this spirit of heaviness. Then God brought to me the passage in Joel chapter 2, verse 32, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And so in my desperation, all alone, I called on the name of the Lord. I said, Lord, deliver me from this spirit of heaviness. And something stirred inside me, in my chest. I let out a kind of mixture of a sob and a groan, and I felt something like a dark cloud lifting from me. And I realized I had been delivered from a spirit of heaviness or a spirit of mourning or a spirit of grief. But that didn't immediately plunge me into the public ministry. It was later on when I was in Seattle, Washington, pastoring another small Pentecostal church, and I was involved with, a lot with the Full Gospel Businessmen. One day a Baptist pastor phoned me and he said, Brother Prince, I have a woman in my congregation who needs deliverance from demons. Well, I wasn't used to Baptist pastors saying things like that. But what he said after that was still more astonishing. He said, God has shown me that you and your wife are to be the instruments of her deliverance. Well, I don't let people's revelation dictate to me. So I sent a quick telegram up to heaven. What about it? And I got the answer, well, this is from me. So I said, all right. I made an appointment, bring the woman, and we'll do our best. Well, we chose a Saturday morning. And at that time, I just become friends with a Presbyterian couple who had just been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And while we were waiting for the Baptist lady to come, the Presbyterian couple turned up. So we said, well, you might as well stay. We don't know what's going to happen, but it could be exciting. Well, along comes the Baptist pastor with this lady who had been the secretary of the church at one time. She was aged about 35, I would say. She was a perfectly normal American housewife. I scanned her from every angle. I couldn't see anything strange about her. No metallic tone in her voice, no fire in her eyes, just an ordinary Baptist, good Baptist. But the pastor was convinced. So he sat her down in the chair and he said, now she's already been delivered from a demon of nicotine. I thought she has. But he said, there are others. So he stood in front of her and started to shout at the demons. Well, I learned by experience later that you don't get any more power by shouting. Demons are not deaf. Even spirits of deafness are not deaf. You don't need to shout, and it's wasting energy. Anyhow, he stood there and shouted at this demon, I command you to come out, and nothing seemed to happen. Then he said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out. And the woman's face changed. A different expression came over her face. Well, he stood there quite a long while and didn't get any further. So he stepped back and I thought, well, if he can do it, I can do it. So I stood in front of the woman and I had all the theology. I said, now you spirit that's in this woman, I'm speaking to you and not to the woman. What is your name? And it wouldn't answer. So I said, I command you in the name of Jesus to answer. What is your name? And we went on like this for a while and suddenly it answered. Before it answered, she changed. She crossed her hands over her throat and started to throttle herself. And I had this Presbyterian brother who was taller and heavier than I am. It took our united strength to pull her arms away from her throat. Well, then we got past that stage and suddenly the demon responded, my name is Hate. And when it said hate, every feature of the woman's face registered the most unutterable hatred. I'd never seen such pure hatred in anybody's eyes. So I said, you demon of hate, come out of this woman. And this gruff, masculine voice answered out of the woman, I'm not coming out. This is my house. I've lived here 35 years, and I'm not coming out. Well, I checked everything with the Bible mentally. I thought, that's right. Jesus said, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, it goes through dry places seeking rest. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I went out. So that's scriptural. So I beat it down with the name of Jesus and with scripture. And suddenly it came out with a loud, prolonged roar. And as it came out, the woman slumped forward, relaxed, and this tension in me subsided. I knew it had gone. But the demon had said, before it came out, even if I come out, my brothers are here and they'll kill her. So I knew there was more than one demon. So anyhow, we went through this. It must have lasted 2 or 3 hours. And about 7 or 8 different spirits came out. One that really impressed me was self-pity. And I began to understand some of the ways people respond that are not natural. The last spirit that came out was a spirit of death. And again, I checked. I thought, is this scriptural? I thought death is a physical condition. But then I remembered in Revelation chapter 6, there was a rider on a horse whose name was Death. So death can be a person. Well, when the spirit of death came out, this woman was stretched out on her back on the floor, absolutely limp. Her face was totally pale. There was no color. Her skin was cold. If you had come in and looked at her, you would have said, there's a dead person on the floor. Well, she lay there for about 10 minutes and put her arms up in the air and started to speak in tongues. Now, one of the things the demons had said, I had said, how did you come into this woman? And it said, that was death. I said, when did you come into this woman? It said, 3.5 years ago, when she nearly died on the operating table. So I stored all this up. Well, then the woman was apparently delivered. So I delivered her back to the Baptist pastor and he drove her off. About halfway through the week, the woman phoned Lydia and me and said, I think they're trying to come back. Can you come and help me? So we drove out to the home, talked with the woman, and I diagnosed that it was fear, that she was afraid they would come back and this was opening the door. But while we were there, she had a little daughter of 6 who was a shy, thin, rather unhappy looking little girl. And everywhere we walked, she walked with us. But every time I looked at her, she averted her eyes. She would not look me in the eyes. So I said to the mother, you know, I think your daughter has some of the same problems you have. She said, will you pray for her? I said, by all means. So the next Saturday morning, we had the daughter there. And basically, we went through much of the same with the daughter as with the mother. most of the same spirits that were in the door, in the mother, came out of the door. Not all of them, but hate was one and death was one. And when the death came out of the little girl, she was stretched flat on her back on the floor, looking like a dead person. So I checked on them for about 2 years. Apparently they remained free. The little girl had been graded retarded. She became a normal, happy, healthy little girl.